Are you dealing with terrible sin that's inwardly and it's going within you throughout each and every day? And it's in your daily routine, and you say to others that everything is fine. You know you can't keep it up long because it's eating away at you. Today we're going to study a passage which describes for us King Herod, a man who died from the inside out. We're going to see how his inner sense of right and wrong, his conscience, went from confused to searched and seared to hardened. We're going to look first here in Mark chapter 6, if you'll turn with me or use your electronic device. We're going to Mark chapter 6, verse 14, and we'll be going through 29. We'll go through this briefly, but we'll stop after the first verse and set it up as it's trying to help us to understand where we're going. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Before we carry on, we have to understand that it's referring back to something, and it happens to be the immediate verses before it. And we can start here in Matthew 6, be part of verse 6, moving into 7 and there. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him, and he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were their instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And his instructions go on. So King Herod at this point, so we're coming into this story. King Herod is aware of the name of Jesus. Okay, but the story that's before us is that of John the Baptist. We're going to quickly see how closely tied those names are. King Herod realizes that one man, Jesus, has immense power. But not only that, it doesn't stop there. It tells us that King Herod is now aware that more are being sent out. Jesus has multiplied in way of the disciples, and they are doing the same miraculous signs that Jesus was doing. That is absolutely, one man doing that is unheard of. That there were multiples doing the same type of work, almost eerie. And here's where we catch up with King Herod. So King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put into prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and a holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came on Herod's birthday. He gave a banquet for him and the high officials and the military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and the dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything. Anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Up from the oath, he goes, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, the mother replied. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head back on a platter. The man went, beheaded John and imprisoned, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took the body and put it in a tomb. In verses 17 through 20, we definitely learn about a confused Herod. He made numerous wrong decisions in his life, and he made decisions not based on what was right, but based on what would bring him power and prestige and his own personal pleasure. Herodias had been the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. The early church historian Josephus has a lot to share further on that story and what was going on with the entire family. Let's just say, if you wonder how soap operas are written, they can look to stories like this, and they already have their script. On one occasion, while he was visiting with his brother Philip, Herod had an affair with Philip's wife, Herodias. Herod and Herodias decided to divorce their spouses and to marry each other. So Herodias became Herod's wife and moved into the palace. And John the Baptist, had the courage to call this relationship what it was: sinful. Herodias wanted to kill John, but Herod protected him because he feared him. He feared to touch him. Herod was struggling with sin and compromised his conscience. He put John in prison, not to necessarily silence John, because you can't silence John. But when he put him in prison, it restricted the audience. John was not just sharing the information about the sinfulness of the relationship with just Herod and Herodias. He was sharing it with any and all that would listen. So by Herod putting John in prison, he was limiting that audience that John was sharing these things that would not necessarily be great for all to hear about Herod and Herodias. But he was also afraid to kill John because he recognized him as a righteous man. As the scriptures tell us, he was intrigued by what John had to say. That lets us know that he hasn't fully been cut off from God's word just yet. God at this point was still going to be able to work within Herod's life. We can move into verses 21 through 28, and we find out how quickly he went from confused, and he made a decision to no longer be confused. Herodias had been plotting, trying to find a way to kill John. And on Herod's birthday, all who was who of anybody in that society, Jews included, they were at that banquet. And towards the end of the banquet, once everyone had had their fill of drink and wine, Herodias herself sent in her daughter to entertain the guest with a dance that was no doubt something of that of a gentleman's club, even though that's not necessarily rightly named. Herod responded just as Herodias knew he would respond, offering the young girl anything she wanted, up to half his kingdom, in verses 22 and 23. The girl took her mother's advice because she wanted to please her mother, and she asked the king for John the Baptist's head on a platter. But prior to this, John had been protected by Herod. Herod didn't feel right killing John. But here's what kicks in. The pride of Herod himself, as he's surrounded with all of these leaders, he had already made an oath that he would give anything requested, up to half the kingdom. He had to carry through. But ultimately, Herod seared his conscience because of his lust and because of his pride, because of the oath and because of those that surrounded him at that time. He did not want to refuse her as recorded in verse 26. Spiritual truth would never again have the same effect on Herod's life. We're going to learn a little bit more about that as we progress. Herod was no longer open and receptive to God's word. Mark's account of Herod's life ends here at these verses, but the story does not end there. There's still more to go. So if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12, but I want to tie in from 1 so we understand exactly what's going on here. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him. Now, we're not talking about John anymore. We're talking about Jesus. And the other thing that we notice is when Herod comes into play, this is the exact same Herod that had taken the life of John the Baptist. And we have the exchange here with Pilate. So then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payments of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. And then Pilate announced to the chief priests and to the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up all the people over all Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way to here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. And Herod was also in Jerusalem at that time, so Pilate was ready to wash his hands of the entire situation and send him over to Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been waiting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see Jesus perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him with an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. They united over Christ, but not in the way that we would want. Here we have the story as finishing out. Herod, we understand his conscience had been seared all the way back to the point of John the Baptist, to where he would submit himself to the influence of others around him and then have John's life taken, preparing him to then be ready to send back, and not to save Jesus' life, but to be ready to wash his hands of it, which then would be the end of Jesus' life. After John was dead, Herod continued to die from the inside out. Remember, Herod used to enjoy listening to John the Baptist, and before him was the man that at this point, Herod, in this story, he was so excited and eager to meet Jesus. Why? Because he himself believed that it was the resurrected John the Baptist. And that as he was resurrected, he then gained this power that Jesus was able to have and to bring people back to life, as well as to heal the sick and to cast out evil spirits. Herod himself believed, as others were saying, that this was John the Baptist. But really, it was Jesus. So now that Herod has seen Jesus face to face, as he would have had conversations with John the Baptist, he is now seeing Jesus and recognizing that it is not the same. But we understand that John did have the same message that Jesus had to say. Now Herod finally went to meet Jesus, and the text says he was very glad. When he saw Jesus, why? He was wanting to seek spiritual truth. No, he had already seared his conscience. He was not looking for spiritual truth. No, the text tells us Herod wanted to be entertained. He wanted to see and watch a miracle be performed. But Christ did not respond to the improper motives that Herod had. And at that point, Herod then mocked him. Here is a picture of a man who has died from the inside out, one who has gone from some interest in the truth to a man who ignores the truth. And that's what sin does to us. The longer we harbor it, the harder it becomes to leave it. It first confuses our consciences, then it sears our consciences, and then can ultimately harden our conscience. The longer one waits to repent, to turn from his or her sin, the harder it becomes to repent. As we come to a conclusion, I want to share with us a comparison, that between the two manes that we started with, be John the Baptist and that of Herod. The account of John the Baptist, we learn most about him in Matthew 3, starting at verse 1. John the Baptist wore clothes of camel's hair. He was a wild man. He didn't live in a palace. He lived out in the wilderness. And any authority that John would refer to, he would refer to God's authority. And we have Herod, that who was dressed in fine clothes. He lived in a castle or a palace. But any authority he spoke of was that of his own earthly authority, wanting to grow his own authority. Two extremely different men in different packages, if you will. Their outward appearance would be extremely different, yet what's inside, we understand, can kill. You can rot from the inside out. So here's something I was thinking about. If you have chickens, you go searching for eggs. Sometimes those eggs are laid in a nest box and you get to collect them. Others, well, sometimes you stumble upon them later. So for this example, a story that I had read, a guy was out collecting eggs. He climbed up into the loft and there were more than just one or two eggs, say a dozen eggs. Up in the loft, it was middle of the summer. Who knows how long those eggs had been there? Are they rotten? You don't know until you open it, right? The only way to know if that egg is rotten is to open it. So if you were to take that egg, been out there several weeks in the heat, crack it on a board, as soon as that shell is broken, a small explosion, and you immediately know that it's a rotten egg. But on the outside, prior to that, it looked just like the others. But yet it was rotten. So once you had that smell, and you probably lost your cookies, you knew it was rotten. We don't know who's rotten on the inside. God does. As we're moving into this time of year, we can think about gifts. And I picked on Kelsey this morning as she was primping and doing a lot of the dress-up stuff. I can just imagine her wrapping a package. It's going to have big bows and curls and all those beautiful things. That box would be right here. And right next to it, my wrapping job, a brown paper sack. Staples if I had them. Stapled together. Both gifts inside of each box. Which one has the best gift? Which one is the one that's not rotten? Well, if we go with a comparison here of Herod to John the Baptist, you would assume the one that's not rotten is the one that's just like, did they even think about how they were going to wrap this? But that's not the case either. We don't know. The person who knows what's in each box or each gift is the one who put it in there, right? Our God is that one who puts and knows what's inside each and every one of us. He knows whether it's rotten, and he knows if it's going to be a good gift and pleasing to him. We don't know those things. We can't judge from the outside. We can do all sorts of methods, x-ray and all the rest. God's already done that. He has searched us, and he's given us an example in his word here in Mark about Herod, a man not to follow in any way whatsoever. But that story is shared with us that we can understand that if we go apart and away from God, it shows the depths of the rottenness that our soul will delve into. The God is the way that we can be purified, we can become righteous. It is through him and the work of the Jesus Christ, the baby boy, that would be born on Christmas, the plan that God had started from the very beginning. If you'll stand, we'll sing our closing song. What about you? Are you dying from the inside out? Are you living a life for yourself or a life for Christ? If you are living for yourself, the Bible says we can expect an experience of that of Herod. The experience of being very sorry one day when it's too late. But as the scriptures say, today if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts in Hebrews 3:15, he wants to hear from us. He wants us to give ourselves to him. If we were all left to ourselves without God's intervention, we are all going to rot from the inside out. He wants to preserve us. He sends us his Holy Spirit when we ask and call to him. And when we seek out his counsel, he fills us with that preserver, that preservative, the Holy Spirit. If you'll bow with me as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here to assemble today. Father, we pray that your name is glorified. Help us as we're united here, may we pray to you, united as your body. But Father, as we separate, we're still parts of your body, just scattered throughout this world. We pray for the Holy Spirit's intervention and for your will to be carried out through us as individuals. And Father, we pray that your name ultimately gets glorified. Heavenly Father, we're rotten to the core. And Father, we recognize this. That's why we seek you out. But Father, there are others out in this world that have yet to come to that realization, that think that they can do good on their own, and we understand we cannot. Father, that if there's anything good that's carried out, it's because of you. Father, help us to share with the rest of this world that it doesn't have, once it realizes it's rotten, it doesn't have to stay that way. And we thank you for that promise. We thank you for your love and for the birth of your son, Jesus, as he knew what he was getting into. He knew the life that he would have to live here on earth. He knew what it would be from the very beginning to the very end, and he still carried it out. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.